Welcome to Innovation. I'm Lori Wall, sitting in today for Kara Hetland. Our first guests are returning. Rich Naser is returning to the program. He's president of the USD Discovery District, and the organization has its first anchor tenant, and that is SAB Biotherapeutics. Eddie Sullivan is president, CEO, and co-founder, and he's with me in the USF studios at the South Dakota Public Broadcasting Studios at the University of South Dakota as well. Eddie and Rich, thanks for being here. We appreciate your time.
Thank you for having us.
Great to be here.
Rich, let's start with an overview for folks who don't remember the last time you were here for Innovation talking about the USD Discovery District. What exactly is it?
You bet. Yes, thank you for that. The USD Discovery District is going to be an 80-acre innovation community that will be located adjacent to University Center in Sioux Falls. And it's being developed through partnerships with the Board of Regents, the Governor's Office of Economic Development, the City of Sioux Falls, and the business community through Forward Sioux Falls. So in the end, it'll be 26 buildings, 1.1 million square feet, filled with companies and resources for innovators located here right in Sioux Falls.
So not just anybody. You don't want just anybody in there. You want a mix? What are you looking
absolutely.
For?
Absolutely. It'll be a mixed-use community. So we will have things like restaurants and daycare and other amenities. But the primary focus is on companies like SAB Biotherapeutics. They're a leader in the innovation in the bioscience space. But we'll also be targeting financial innovators, things in the software and IT space as well.
All right. So the idea is that synergy.
Right. Collision is the term that's the term du jour anymore, where you create these opportunities, a natural organic environment where very bright people intersect, interact, and then you create new companies and new wealth out of that.
What's the time frame for this, Rich, as people start becoming interested and building out?
Well, absolutely. That's why we're here today, because last time I was on your show, I was talking about the exciting development that we were building streets. And we announced our first building on Monday, two buildings actually, an 84,000 square foot multi-tenant research facility, another 42,000 square foot biopharma manufacturing facility that SAB will be a huge part of. But this whole development is probably going to take 25 years to build out the entire 80 acres and 26 buildings.
Eddie Sullivan, I'm looking up SAB Biotherapeutics this morning, and I'm going through that process, which I think many people do when they find out what you do. We're like, this is interesting. What is this? Wait a minute, what is this? They're doing what? So give us an overview. How do you explain what this organization does, the first time you meet somebody?
Well, really in simple terms, we are a biopharmaceutical research company. Of course, we're looking out into the world and seeing all of these various devastating diseases, anything from infectious diseases to things like cancer, autoimmune diseases like type 1 diabetes, or even inflammation. And we saw that there was this giant gap, because what our bodies use to fight disease are these very unique proteins. We call them antibodies. And when a foreign invader is inside of our bodies, like a virus or a bacteria, our immune system recognizes those as being something foreign, and so we create these very unique proteins. And when we become sick, it's simply because we become overwhelmed. And so what we're doing is creating the human version of these very unique antibody proteins inside of genetically engineered cattle, and then targeting them to a specific disease of interest in humans.
All right, so let's walk through an example of this, which is influenza. Maybe that's an area that makes sense.
Absolutely, right, okay. And in fact, influenza is our lead product.
Yeah.
Using these antibodies, we essentially vaccinate these cattle that produce the human version of these antibodies. We vaccinate them with very similar vaccines to what we vaccinate all of us with. For influenza, except we don't just vaccinate them once a year. We actually vaccinate them every 3 weeks. And so these animals create very, very strong antibodies against influenza. Then what we do is these animals become plasma donors 3 times per month. And from that plasma, we can purify out those antibodies that target the flu. And the idea behind this is that when people do become sick from the flu, and by the way, I want to stress, this is not competition with the flu vaccine. Mm-hmm. This is actually a treatment for those that actually break through the vaccine and become severely sick from influenza and are hospitalized. And so what we're doing is we're simply giving them more of what the body naturally produces to fight the disease.
How close does it appears the cattle and the human antibody? How does that transfer from the cow to me when I'm really sick?
So what we've done with these very unique animals is we've actually turned off the cow antibody genes, and we've replaced them with the genes that produce the human version. And so these animals produce actually the human version of antibodies. And so when we purify those out and we transfer those into a human looks at those antibodies and they say, hey, that's a human protein. And so they don't cause any sort of immunogenicity reactions or anything like that inside of humans. In fact, we just last year completed our first safety trial in humans using these antibodies actually to Middle Eastern respiratory syndrome. And we found out that, in fact, in humans, these antibodies react exactly the same way as if they came from a human donor.
It seems like one of the opportunities of this would be scale. You should be able to do a lot.
Well, and that's one of the reasons to be in an agriculturally strong area like South Dakota is because actually the entire worldwide market for severe influenza can be serviced by simply 60 head of cattle. Yeah. And you can imagine in South Dakota, a herd of 60 cattle is really just a small backyard farm, right?
Right, right. Okay, so now in my mind, I'm thinking there's 60 cattle walking around, I mean, you know, the USD Discovery District.
Yeah, we actually have the animals at a new farm that we have developed just north of Canton. And the animals actually were moved to that facility in December. The facility is still under construction because we have things like nurseries and grower facilities and commodity barns and, mm-hmm. and other facilities that were still under construction on that farm. But the production animals are actually located there now. And our first babies will be born on that farm in July.
Are they the same? Are they, the same kind of cattle that you'd find anywhere else in any other production, or are they unique to what you're doing?
Well, they're certainly
once you get them started, and then.
They're certainly unique in the fact that they produce human antibodies different from what other cows do. By the way, the human antibodies also protect those cows against cow diseases. We're often asked that question. But these are 2/3 Holstein, 1/3 Jersey. They're dairy cows. They stand in a chute and donate plasma 3 times per month. In fact, we use the exact, if anybody's donated plasma out there, we use the exact same machines that they use to collect plasma from people. It's just we changed it a little bit because these are larger animals and they can donate a lot more plasma.
How long are they plasma donors? What's the span for how long they're useful in this context?
Yeah, so our model right now is that the animals would be in production for about 4 years. And so every 4 years we'll be turning over about a quarter of the herd.
Rich, when you hear Eddie's story about what SAB is doing, this fits into exactly what you want the USD Discovery District to be thinking about. Because why?
Well, it's really exciting because SAB is really building off the intersection of human health and our agricultural background, which I think is really a strength and an opportunity for South Dakota. But the other exciting thing is Eddie referred to SAB as a research company, but they're actually transitioning to a commercial production company through the space that they'll be taking in the USD Discovery District. They have early stage clinical trials going on, and the space that they'll be taking the Discovery District will give them a scale up in one building for, I think, 100 liter scale up production, which is much larger than they've had in their research facilities. But the second building we're building is the 42,000 square foot final manufacturing facility for products like this. And the exciting part about it is these are creating products that will serve the globe, the world. So we're impacting the world right from South Dakota and right from Sioux Falls. But the jobs that will be created through this for our citizens are just incredible.
Yeah.
The average salary for the bioscience industry in South Dakota is a little over $61,000 a year, or about 57% higher than all the aggregate average annual salaries for occupations in South Dakota. So we're creating, we being the Discovery District in a supportive role, and SAB and the commercialization role are creating a whole new industry that'll be launched in South Dakota and in the Discovery District.
And talk a little bit, Rich, about the connection with the university then. Is this goes into the bigger conversation in the state about workforce development and making sure innovators like Eddie Sullivan have access to the latest minds as well as the latest technology, right?
Absolutely. I always say in the innovation space, the most important thing is human capital, because if you don't have the people to innovate and execute, you don't have a company. Second most important is financial capital, and third is all the other things that the rest of us do. But you know, it is true that they'll need additional workforce as they're growing. I think they'll probably double about the time that they move in to the Discovery District. But how that ties in the university, most people may not know this, but the University of South Dakota has a biomedical engineering program. Today it's master's and PhD. That is located right in the heart of the Discovery District at the USD Gear Center here in Sioux Falls. In addition to that, looking down the road, USD has looked and seen that there'll be a need for additional types of workers. So they've launched two new certificate programs, a certificate in laboratory sciences and a certificate in regulatory affairs. And both those programs are being offered by USD in Sioux Falls and are kind of key foundations for some of the workforce that SAB and others will need. And then a third program they've launched is actually an associate's degree in integrated science. And that, again, is offered in Sioux Falls through USD. And it's all focused on kind of creating that workforce that SAB and others like them will need as they go from, the common frame is from the benchtop to the bedside, but taking a product out of the research lab and taking it for commercial use. And we see more opportunities to create new programs, to train new employees with new skills. Yeah. To support this industry.
What's your background? Because this brings what Rich says is it brings a conversation about kids these days, high school students. They might not, the jobs that they're going to get don't exist, you know, when you're in fifth grade. And this kind of work didn't exist when you were in fifth grade. So what's your background? How did you come to this work?
Well, I do have a PhD in science, and my background is specifically in reproductive physiology, believe it or not, and certainly that's a part of what we do in producing these very unique animals. Actually, all of our animals are clones, and that was part of my research back in the day when I actually was a research scientist in developing the methods by which we take the cells that we use to transfer these human antibody genes into, and then from those cells actually produce the animals that produce the human antibody. And so that's a big part of it. But really, anything in biology, in biosciences, Rich talked about regulatory affairs, which is a huge part of developing an FDA-approved pharmaceutical. This is a very long process, and part of it is because you have to prove safety and efficacy, that these things are safe in people, that they actually work and do what we want them to do in being able to fight disease. And so there are many components to having to put a program together for this. And so we have to reach out to a lot of different people that have a lot of different kinds of talent. And certainly we're appreciative of what the universities here in South Dakota, as well as the technical schools, are doing in being able to develop these kinds of programs and this kind of workforce. And we have to continue to provide those jobs that these very skilled individuals are going to want, or we'll be exporting them from the state. And that's something I don't think any of us want.
Talk about the tension a little bit between that sense of, okay, we have to, you know, there's a regulatory framework here. There's a sense of, you know, safety and efficacy long term. But yet there's also this, it could be a really compelling need right now with a healthcare crisis across the globe. Can you make it go faster to meet that need? And yet you have this question mark saying, like, what's the impact of this 50 years down the road? Like, we don't know, because we're innovating in a really a smart new way that hasn't been done before.
Well, that's exactly right. And a part of that sort of tension is that innovation and what we're able to do nowadays is so advanced and so incredible, the opportunities that we have to fight disease in so many different aspects. And yet we have to make sure that it's safe and that it does work, and that's the responsibility of agencies like the Food and Drug Administration, the FDA. Regulatory innovation is all a part of this as well, and they've done a lot toward finding new ways to make things happen faster. And industry has been working with agencies. I am on the board of directors of the Biotechnology Innovation Organization in Washington, D.C., and we work with regulators all the time to find new ways to regulate this. But right here in South Dakota, we also have recently passed a law about the right to try, so that when there are innovative drugs that are in clinical trials, that patients actually can have access to them and hopefully find a solution to their particular problem, even perhaps before it's available to the general public.
What kind of conversations are you having in the industry then, when we are in the area of regulation? We're also in the area of ethics. What kind of conversations are you having when it comes to, like, you know, we can innovate, but what should we do? Do we have a foundation, an ethical foundation, as you have these big conversations?
Yeah, that's a great question. And, you know, ethics is always a big part of this. And so we have had multiple conversations from the very beginning of this project with bioethicists and with those that are concerned about, for instance, the welfare of the animals, which is absolutely critically important. We cannot have donors of these products that are not healthy, and we want to have healthy and happy animals, and so we work very hard to ensure that the welfare of these animals is second to none. And there are oversight committees, there are regulations involved, and inspections of our facilities on a regular basis. We are a USDA licensed research facility, and so therefore are regularly inspected by others, so that there's a third set of eyes looking at everything that we do. And that's critically important, to make sure that all aspects of this kind of very complex manufacturing system are looked at, and ensure that not only the products are good, but the animals that are so critical to it are actually being treated in an appropriate and humane manner.
For the sake of simplicity, we focused on influenza, but can this same technology be applied to cancer? How broad does it go?
Absolutely. And another term for what we are doing is immunotherapy. And there are drugs out there already on the market that do similar things to what we're doing. Ours are unique in that we are providing the what's called polyclonal antibodies. That's a natural way that our bodies fight disease. But there are monoclonal antibodies out there doing the same thing. And yes, as I said previously, we have projects that we're working on in cancer, also in type 1 diabetes, and also in inflammation. So on top of the infectious diseases, which are a natural path for our products to take, we have these other things that we think that we can be very, very helpful in, and have this be part of the toolbox in fighting disease.
Right. Big questions about ethics, but also big questions about hope. And as people, you know, just had a friend yesterday diagnosed with cancer. And so there's also that sense of urgency, too, with this thing, more and more of us.
I think
get to work.
That's exactly right. I think all of us have been touched in one way or another by someone that could potentially benefit from the innovation that's happening today.
Rich, let's close with this, because as these, as the USD Discovery District expands, gets those tenants, makes those connections, those collisions, all of us in South Dakota become a little smarter, too. And that's something maybe we haven't talked much about. Let's just close with the fact that, you know, here we are having this conversation, which, you know, a few years ago, and who knows what the next guest that you'll bring us and say, yeah, this is what we need to talk about next. What's the potential impact on the state residents of South Dakota?
Right. Well, I think it's really it's kind of a paradigm shift. In my general presentation, I closed talking about two people. I closed talking about E.O. Lawrence. So E.O. Lawrence was from Canton, graduated from USD, invented the cyclotron. And Lawrence Livermore Laboratory is named after him. He's one of the two founders of that. South Dakotan, but had to leave South Dakota to do that and have that impact on the world. His brother didn't win a Nobel Prize, but is the father of nuclear medicine. And so what we're really doing is we're creating this opportunity and this platform, and with partners and companies like SAB Therapeutics and Allumand, who is our other anchor tenant, we're actually creating the place where this can now be done in South Dakota. We can retain that talent, we can retain that knowledge, and impact the world really from South Dakota. And that's what this is all about.
Rich Nazer is president of USD Discovery District. Eddie Sullivan is the president, CEO, and co-founder of SAB Biotherapeutics. They joined us today in the SDPB's studios at the University of Sioux Falls. Thank you so much. It's been really enlightening.
Thank you.
Yes, thank you.